Some replacement level dudes talking about their home team. Starting a Braves podcast was their daggum dream. They like Nick Markakis, even the long ball. One day they'll have more clout than Ken Rosenthal. Oh, you're listening to that Knockoff Nation podcast show. Oh. Knockoff Nation podcast show.
Hey, it's another episode of the Knockoff Nation podcast show. I'm your host, Ken Hendricks. That's JT Holton and Josh Rhubarb Brown. What's up, fellas?
How y'all doing?
Hello.
Hello. Hello. I'm glad you fellas are back from the beach. Josh is not being physically assaulted by a group of people in the background this week. That seems wonderful. And JT doesn't sound like he's, Zach Brown Band sitting on the beach with his butt, with his toes in the water, you know, while recording a podcast.
Adios and vaya con Dios.
Is that song terrible, or has it just been played so much I hate it now?
I remember the first time I heard it was on a mixed CD my sister made. We were driving down to a show, and I'm like, who's this? And she's like, oh, it's a guy, Zach Brown. He plays in Statesboro a lot. He's really cool. And then 6 months later, he's big. You know, the album came out, and they blew up. And the first time I heard it, I was like, oh, this guy's awesome. This is so cool. Because I was, you know, not in early on him, because a lot of people in Georgia were in early on him because he was a college
senior. Yeah.
After the 500th time, I was like, yeah, now it's a direct skip. If it comes up on the shuffle, it's a direct next.
I have to be honest, the best thing Zach Brown ever did was bring Blackberry Smoke into my life, because they're actually a really good band.
I like Highway 20 Ride. I like Highway 20 Ride a lot, because it makes me think of my dad. And then I like Free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Free as a man could be. Yeah, something like that.
I like that song. Yeah.
I imagine Toes is good.
I mean, Toes is a good... If you can... It's hard to really, like, think about a song the first time you hear it. And, like, for example, this sounds crazy, but when it first came out in 2005, Wagon Wheel was a really cool song. It was cool. Mm-hmm. It was like this old-timey string band kind of sound. It was a good song. And now it's like the worst song in the world.
Was Wagon Wheel Zach Brown?
No, I'm just using that example.
Oh, that's okay.
As an example.
Yeah, right. I was like, that was Hootie, wasn't it? Yeah, okay.
That was not Hootie. It was Old Kermesse
Darius
Show.
But Darius Rucker covered it. Yeah.
Right.
Gotcha. Yeah,
he covered it.
Darius Rucker is like a Darius Rucker is kind of like the movie industry. He's like, let me not write a new song. Let me cover a song that was just done like 8 years ago.
Hey,
let's not make a new movie. Like, let's just remake one.
I like his voice. I like his voice.
I like Darius Rucker. He seems like a cool dude.
I would hang out with him.
It's Hootie singing country music. You know, I mean, like that's all really matters.
He seems like a good person. I would hang out with Darius Rucker.
Oh, he seems very cool. Like, he's always on like Dan Patrick Show, and he's a big golfer and loves the South Carolina Gamecocks, Miami Dolphins. He seems like a regular dude that just happens to be a millionaire singer.
Right.
Were you guys Hootie fans back in the day?
Kind of like Chris Jansen.
Huge.
Back in the day? Oh, yeah, man.
We're going to go there in a minute, Josh.
Cracked Review is probably my mom's favorite album of all time. It is awesome.
Wow.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Hey, it was good, though. It was a banger.
Oh, Cracked Review
was Hootie
was like
awesome. My friend group didn't listen to Hootie a lot, and... Like, even my Prep Neck friends didn't listen to a lot of Hootie for some reason. And, like, for me, that was always the stoner kids. Well, yeah. I mean, like, here in Franklin County, you had stoner the country kids, you had the rednecks, and then you had the kids that in most schools would probably be, like, preps, but we live so far out of the country that they all have a little redneck in them, so they're prep necks is what it comes down to.
Yeah, even if they're wearing khakis, they're still, yeah.
Yeah, we had some of those in Sugar Town. Some prep necks.
Like a, any Southern fraternity is going to have a lot of the prep necks. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, you know, they wear the fishing shirts and the mm-hmm. well, a lot of them wear Crocs now. A lot of kids wear Crocs.
See them in a Dixie Outfitter shirt. Like, it's even possible.
Right.
You would see some pop collars as well.
A lot of croquis around the neck.
A lot of croquis. What about the guy? Yeah, the Guy Harveys? Do they still wear the Guy Harveys?
Oh that, man, I had one. Thing? I love.
What are the Guy Harveys? Guy Harvey. I don't remember Guy.
Guy Harvey's a painter, and he does fishing paints. And they're
did
on the
you
back
know?
Of the shirt.
Oh yeah.
There's like a
Ford
F-150 Guy Harvey edition. When I was driving back, from
is that
beach.
The same thing as a Ed? What was the
Eddie Bauer?
Ed Hardy. Ed Hardy. Hardy. Yeah, Ed you can get
yes.
an Ed Hardy
okay.
version of stuff. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. As Guy Harvey is to Jacksonville, Florida, Guy Harvey is to the Jersey Shore. That's kind
Ed
of
Ed Hardy.
How
yeah,
it goes.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Like okay. you know how okay. you know how like you'll be driving through. I don't know, Milledgeville, Georgia, and see somebody with Salt Life on the back of their truck, and you're like, the nearest ocean is 4 hours away.
Right.
That's kind of what Ed Hardy is for everybody up there, like up north.
Josh, just type in Ed Hardy on your computer. You'll know. You'll immediately know what we're
Ed
talking about.
Ed Hardy like, or Harvey?
H-A-R-D-Y-D-Y. Yeah.
It looks so like anything Guy Fieri would wear.
Yes, exactly. Like, there's actual, I think there's even Ford truck editions of Ed Harvey.
Ed Hardy.
Hardy.
Now we're mixing
Hardy.
Them up.
You got me saying the wrong word now.
I don't think I've ever seen it. I mean, I guess
count
I've seen people
lucky.
Wear these things before, but
it's like
know.
Tattoo
it's
brand, sort of, almost.
Yeah.
Like, it's like this tattoo look.
Okay.
Almost.
It's like going out to a bar in a tap-out shirt.
It was pre-affliction, affliction tease. You know,
yes,
like
exactly.
it was very much that. Yeah, it kind of had this motorcycle vibe, but no one that actually was in motorcycle culture would ever wear one. You know,
it's for guys that wear sequin jeans, like
a
have
bit,
like
yeah.
those sequins
yeah.
on the butt cheeks.
Wow.
It's also weird. For 40-year-old and older. When we were younger, it was for 40-year and old and older guys that were trying to be 25 still.
That
like
still
you know,
had their hair
like,
spiked up.
Like you cruised through Helen when I was 20 years old, and there was nothing but Ed Hardy shirts, like
oh,
everywhere.
Really? Okay.
Ed Hardy shirts, yeah, because you know it's like a Helen is like a biker town. You know what I'm saying? It's really not.
Yeah.
JT just got to swallow a bad beer, and
hey,
it's
we should all get a guys trip together and go to Helen.
Why? There's no reason to go to Helen as a married man.
I could think of like
unless you're into swinging. Unless you're
no,
into swinging,
like, you don't go there for the girls. No, it's stupid. You go
like it's Las Vegas or something.
Hey, Helen, Georgia.
No,
I'll
I'm just saying,
still.
Like
Helen,
there's
Georgia,
nothing to do
Helen,
in Helen.
What are you talking about? Helen, Georgia is. I'll die on this hill. Has a really good Oktoberfest, like a legit Oktoberfest. It's a lot of fun. It's so you have to go to Helen. And embrace that it's dumb.
I live 45 minutes from Helen. I've been there a lot of times. There's nothing to do except
yes, there
go
is.
There
There's...
and get drunk with people over the age of 55.
What is wrong with that?
Nothing, but like if I wanted to do that, I would just go to a local bar. Like, why drive to Helen to do that
There's
with
a
bunch
river.
Of weirdos
There's
trying to swing?
They're not trying to swing.
Yeah, I mean, you
what
go in the summer.
Swingers?
Oh, yes. Helen is a total swinger destination. You did not know that? Oh yeah.
No, I don't. I don't think about those things.
I have.
I didn't know.
I have some weirdo friends that I used to know way back, and I actually haven't seen them more than just in passing in several years. But like they put up pictures of their swinging escapades in Helen on their Facebook page. It's weird.
Did,
like not inappropriate pictures, but like it's obvious what's happening. You know, like
appropriate
it's not even sort of. Well, I mean, it's just them, like, dancing with some other man or woman kind of thing. But it's 100% obvious what's
well, you
happening.
You know, Ken, that
like,
doesn't necessarily mean they're swinging.
Yeah, it doesn't.
No,
they could be,
I want
to
know
be doing
no,
this.
No, no, no.
Could
no,
just
no. Swing. The fact that the guy
what if,
got
like,
a
what if people thought we were all swinging 2 weekends ago? What if people thought, like, we were, saw pictures of, like, JT
yes.
and Nikki? And, like,
I know they're
like,
all.
Someone said, there's probably somebody
the
having a conversation
posted,
on Facebook right now.
The
okay,
fact
sure, they're just sitting at Pizza
Facebook.
Hut, but we know what's really happening.
We know
the
what's
fact
really
he posted
happening
on
there.
Facebook, looking forward to Swingers Weekend in Hell. Like,
okay, that's a swing is a dance though. Like, there's a swinging.
No,
club,
no,
so
it's
go
not.
Dance.
not
there
that's
are though.
Not
there
what
are.
Talking about.
Yeah, people.
Yeah,
my friend's
guy
has
dude,
never.
True,
this guy's never
true story.
Been swing dancing in his life. I know what swing dancing is. This
my friend,
guy's
my
never
friend's
been.
Dad is in a. My friend's dad is in a shag club here in town. Okay, and
yeah.
it's like people dance like 50 style beach music, and they do the shag.
Yep.
Okay,
that's
like,
not
if I was
this guy,
in,
I guarantee
if I was in if I was in England, a shagging club would be something totally different. Yeah, that would be something that would be lost in translation.
I'm just telling you, Helen, not a cool place anymore. Maybe when you were young, not anymore.
You're crazy. Helen is so much fun. You go to Betty's General Store, you hang out, get some 25-cent coffee. You sit on the big.
There's not 25-cent coffee anymore, for one thing. It's not there.
It might be 50 cents.
You're going to the wrong swingers.
No, no, no. It's like $2.50. And all the actual stores.
Not at Betty's General Store. No.
All the stores that used to have actual interesting stuff are now just cheap t-shirt stores. That's all they are.
Which is awesome. That is why it's awesome. You have to go. Yes, you need to go and get like a Josh, JT, and Kenny.
If I wanted to go to Spencer's. Like, I could go to Spencer's and see all that stuff at the mall. Like,
Ken, they have a leather shop that has Rebel Flag bikinis for sale. How is that not awesome? I don't understand.
A leather shop? What? Like
a biker leather.
So Josh is get us to go on a weekend together. So Josh is trying to
get us to go
on a weekend together with a bunch of old people that like to swing to go hang out in a leather shop where we can get Rebel Flag bikinis.
Yes, 100%.
They're 100% swinging. While the 55-year-old woman tries to sell you $5 coffee, because I'm telling you, like, there's nothing in Helen that's
Betty's
cheap
General
anymore.
Store has 50-cent coffee.
No,
that's
it doesn't.
A fact. Yes, they do. Can someone please tweet us and verify this so I can. So Kenny can shut
you have to
the
be
hell
a
up.
Member of a it's a swingers club discount though. You have to be a member of the Helen Swingers Society,
right?
And then you get the discount for half off the coffee. It's usually $1.
The glass blowing shop is not really like blowing like you think it. You know what I mean? It's like the other kind of blowing. You know what I mean?
Oh.
The fudge shop is not really.
You can say what you want, Josh. I
the
know
fudge
the
shop.
Guy, and
the
I know
fudge
what
shop's
he was saying.
Packing something else. If you know what I'm saying.
The glass blowing shop is owned by a guy named Glass.
Well, this went downhill quickly. So,
Josh
don't
forget about the Troll Tavern.
JT got into a debate. It's a terrible, terrible place. No one should ever go to Helen for anything except to ride down the river. I'm just saying.
You're no fun. You're no fun, Kenny. You're no fun. Sometimes.
Kenny would be like, hey, you see those people floating down the river together? Yeah, they're definitely doing it later. They're all going to do it later. Like, Ken, they're just standing there. See those people at table 5? The two couples? Yeah, after this, they're going to go do it, all of them.
I feel like we're in 7th grade. We're on a school bus, and Ken's like, hey.
Any multiple groups of people are all...
They're going to do it later.
I saw pictures of 6 people on Facebook and Helen, and they probably all did it later.
Doing it.
Oh no, that's funny. Okay. I'm now going to assume that anytime I see multiple couples in a place, that they're automatically swingers.
Okay.
Why are they all sitting on the same pew?
I'm just telling you that's what these people are, because I know them. Like, I'm not stupid. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, so Josh and JT got in a fight in our chat about Jason Isbell, and so I just thought I'd let you guys hash that out on the podcast, since you guys... You know, you seem to have some animosity for each other on this.
What are you talking about?
No, Josh is easy to argue with. I don't know. Josh thinks that Jason Isbell is nothing but a liberal rice cake with a bad haircut and owns cats and is just
none of that is false.
A little dainty man. Whereas your example of masculinity in country music is Chris Jansen, who I had to look up. I thought he was the To Catch a Predator guy. That's Chris Hansen. Chris Jansen is a guy. I'm sorry, no one knows who he is. I looked him up on Spotify. He has a song called Buy Me a Boat, I think, and a song something about beer.
Are you there?
It's really edgy stuff. It's really out there.
Yeah, man.
Hello?
Super edgy. Super edgy. You're breaking up a little bit. You there?
Can you hear me?
Hello?
We hear you fine. Yeah.
Yeah, I can hear you. You broke up for a second.
Kind of like Jason Isbell's band.
Yeah, well, he got kicked out of the band. He got kicked out because he was a raging alcoholic.
Oh, yeah. That too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was never impressed with Drive-By Truckers. So here's a lot of people love Drive-By Truckers. I never was a big fan.
I was a huge fan. I love Drive-By. I love them so much that I started a band to try to be like them, and we were not very successful at that, but I love the Drive-By Truckers.
Do you know that he I said love Jason that he was changing the
I
band
love
name, Josh?
I,
did you read the article
I,
about that? Because Drive-By was racially insensitive. He's changed the name from Drive-By Truckers to something else.
Well, that proves my point. What I'm getting at is Jason Isbell's a badass songwriter, badass musician, love his stuff, love
he
Southeastern.
He was the one changed the name, but yeah.
Can I finish?
Kind of like Jason. The way you let me Jason, when I was talking about the Swingers, is that how I should let you like just you know just let you finish?
What are you
your
talking about?
Sentence without.
Oh my god!
It?
Jason Isbell is a fantastic musician, and I love Jason Isbell's musicianship, but personally, he's a raging idiot. Yeah, that's all I was going to say. Ken.
Aren't most of the best musicians raging idiots in real life? I can't think of one musician that I love that I would want to hang out with.
Charlie Daniels.
I can't hang out with him. He's dead.
He's dead now.
Wow. Whatever.
I mean, even Garth Brooks. I don't think I'd want to hang out with Garth Brooks.
I don't know. He seems kind of cool. You'd hang out with Derek. You mentioned
like
Darius
Dave Matthews.
Rucker,
I like the Dave. I like the, okay, he's one
Dave,
guy.
Dave
he's
Matthews
one
guy, is
probably
yeah. really, Dave Matthews is probably really weird. For sure.
Yeah, he's probably nice, but like really, really nice in a weird way.
I feel like Dave Matthews and Joe Rogan are probably a lot alike. Maybe they have a little different beliefs, but I still feel like hanging out with Dave Matthews and hanging out with Joe Rogan would be pretty much the same experience. I just kind of
why do you think Dave Matthews and Joe Rogan are similar?
I don't know.
I bet Dave Matthews on the Joe Rogan podcast would be like a 6-hour episode of them talking about like the stars and stuff.
Yeah, and smoking.
He wakes up in the morning.
I also think that, and I don't know anything. This is just my like outside perception. I know absolutely nothing, but I bet Dave Matthews is like this really good dad that like goes to all his kids' soccer games and all this kind of weird stuff. You know, like
from all I've heard is he's like been married to the same woman for like 30 years, and they have like a normal life and normal kids.
Yeah, what's wrong with that guy, man? God,
I know, what a weirdo.
What a weirdo.
He's supposed to be like on heroin and stuff.
Ken, move your
he's an idiot.
Ken, move your like camera so we can see your face.
We can't see there you. But the thing started like. Because Jason Isbell got on Twitter and basically bashed, without naming names, country music singers who were being irresponsible by having concerts, which were kind of forbidden, but they were socially distanced concerts, right? I mean, these weren't. Like
yeah, but JT
he's playing Madison Square
Garden. The disease, man. Singing, you can't even sing in church without giving it to everyone in California. Like,
listen, Chris, I don't worry about it because Chris Jansen could hold a concert anywhere and it'd still be socially distant. There'd be like 47 people there, so it wouldn't really matter.
That
Chris
is not
Jansen
true.
Sounds like he should be playing on the golf tour.
I think Jason Isbell's bigger gripe is that this is just a sign of the deeper dislike that he has for. Generic
himself.
Pop bro country, as a whole, and he's kind of lashing out because he can't be happy with the fact that he knows he's 10 times better than a bunch of these jabronis.
He truly is.
I mean, I don't blame him. Yeah, sure, he definitely is. Yeah, and I don't blame him at all. Like we were talking about, my uncle's from Nashville, and he was at the beach with us this week, and he was talking about like he casually dropped that he's golfing buddies with one of the guys that was in the Gatlin Brothers, and. He was talking about the state of modern country and how these guys suck. And I was telling him, I'm like, here's some guys you need to listen to. And I named Jason.
And by the end of the week, JT had a picture with the Gatlin brothers. That's like somehow that's how this story is going to end.
I'm angling for one, though. But yeah, and he was like, he was in Nashville. And he had, granted, my uncle's 60, so he's not like, in tune with everything that's cool like I am. But, he was like, you don't hear about these guys. I'm like, yeah, no, because Nashville is. Different place. You don't like if you want to hear really good country music, turn off the country station. Your modern normal top 40 country station. Find
Unless
a good one. Like, Josh, you got that really good. Yeah. But like because you kind of got to search. But the good thing is, for $10 a month, you can get a Spotify account. You can find all the good music out there, and it can be access it whenever you want to. Mm-hmm.
You know, I like Spotify, but the problem I have with Spotify is if you don't know music exists, I'm not very likely to stumble upon it. Accidentally.
That's why love Pandora still. I'm still living in 2010, and I'm proud. I don't care. I love Pandora. You know how many artists I've discovered artists throughout the years on Pandora. I love it.
Spotify has that too. You can go to, you know, anybody's radio, and they'll play you songs like them.
Oh, okay.
It's a good way to hear other stuff. Yeah, so you can go to Jason Isbell Radio and find other people. But you're right. If you give me a list of songs, if I'm just looking, I'm like, I don't know that. I'll wait till I find something I know. I have to be like, they have to force me to listen to new stuff because I don't know new stuff. I got like my five guys I like, and that's it.
See, that's my problem with Pandora, though, too, Josh, is like, I feel like Pandora, if I cut it on a Pandora station that I like, I don't hear any new music. I just hear the same old stuff. Like,
I don't know. My experience has been pretty different, but I don't know. For example, my favorite songwriter is Daryl Scott. He wrote Great Day to Be Alive by Travis Tritt. And so, for example, I make a Pandora station and I say I like artists like Daryl Scott. Well, then a lot of artists come up that I've never heard before, and I discover all kinds of cool stuff. Yeah.
Okay. Maybe it's because
other songs about cooking rice and microwaves.
Yeah, there's like a whole genre about howling and stuff.
Fu Manchu's.
Yeah.
Well, you got that one. You got "Live Like You Were Dying" by Tim McGraw.
Josh calls it the Rice-A-Roni station.
Both those mentioned Fu Manchu's.
Yeah, I don't know
who makes rice in the microwave, by the way.
Yeah, I don't know. Definitely not me. I'm just saying.
Bachelors. The idea of that line was, you're a bachelor, you got rice cooking in the microwave because it's instant rice, basically instant rice.
Couldn't they have just said, like, got ramen cooking in the microwave? That would have made a lot more sense. Like,
well, microwave and shave, the play was, I got rice cooking in the microwave, got a 3-day beard, I don't plan to shave. So, I mean, it fits together.
Yeah, but you could have said ramen.
I got ramen cooking in the microwave.
I got ramen cooking in the microwave.
It really sounds better with one syllable, I think. But I mean, it
probably
would have worked.
I'm just saying, you could have got it in there. Yeah. Just saying. It would have been more my story. You know what I mean? Like every man's story. Although I hate ramen. I'm just saying. Like, I think more people have probably eaten ramen out of the microwave than rice.
The good thing about ramen is if you buy it, you can just leave it in your pantry, and 6 years later, you'd be like, oh, yeah, I can eat this.
Yes. Yeah.
So fun. I think I still have some that I've moved out of my college dorm, and it's still in there in the back of my pantry.
So, fellas, are you ready for recipe time with Ken? Let me tell you about my recipe that I made last night because it was freaking fantastic. I took I took my cast iron skillet. I took me some Mexican cornbread mix. Cut me up some peppers, onions, put in it, and they're Anaheim peppers, so they got like a little heat.
Someone doesn't shop at Trader Joe's.
Yeah, Trader Jose's. So I took it. Put that in the oven then for 20 minutes and let it basically like cook the cornbread. And then while that was cooking, I took me some hash browns. I browned them on both sides, poured me a bunch of ham in them. Then I poured some bell peppers and some onions and in that. And then so I had all that done. I pulled the cast iron skillet out, poked holes all in the cornbread. I covered that with 12 scrambled eggs and that whole batch of peppers, onions, and ham, and then covered it, stuck it back in, and then some cheese on top. And then I stuck it back into the oven for another 20 minutes while I cooked some bacon. And when it was all done, I crumbled bacon all over the top of it and had a breakfast bake hash brown ham. Mm.
That's very Nikki-esque. She would love that.
It was so freaking good. I feel like I ate half the skillet. It was amazing. Mm. Yeah. Anyway, it was good. Somebody should try that out there. It was really good. I just made the recipe up on my own for the most part. Like, I'd done some other recipes with some pieces of that, but that was like new for me. So
nice.
It went good.
It was good.
It was
good. I made a pork tenderloin for the second time tonight because I made the first one with you guys.
Yeah.
Me and you had Googled the best way to do it. And we made one for the fourth. And then grilled one tonight on the Weber grill. It came out pretty good. Yeah, pretty good.
Nice. Well, fellas, are you ready to play Name That Brave? Baseball starts this week. We're going to be watching some live baseball games. Everyone, all of us except for Josh. I think Josh is boycotting. We'll get more into that here in a few minutes. But, yeah, are you ready to play Name That Brave? You guys got beat for 2 weeks in a row. I've stumped you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With such luminaries as Bill Pakoda and George Sherrill.
Hey. Bill Pakoda has his own stat named after him. And George Sherrill, he was a really good closer at one point. Just saying.
Yeah, for like that 1 week, that one time.
That one time for like 1 week. Yeah, gotcha.
I need a notepad. Oh, well, I'll just remember. I try to jot down on the clues so I can, so I can keep track of, frame my thoughts.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
I'll write them down for you, JT.
Okay.
All right. So, let me make sure I am properly prepared here. Okay. This former Atlanta Braves baseball player was born in Amityville,
New York. Said baseball player. Is it baseball player?
Yeah, baseball player. Former Atlanta Braves baseball player. And he had a 13-year major league career.
Amityville Horror.
Did you say he was from Amityville?
Amityville, New York. He did. That's the Amityville Horror, the scary movie. Yeah.
Never heard
Amity,
of it.
As you know, means friendship.
Yeah. Yeah. Gotcha.
Some jokes.
All right. Fire away with your questions.
Okay.
Who wants to go first? Right. Josh, you want to go first? I was the last winner, technically.
Okay. All right. Is this player an infielder?
He is, yes.
And now I have to guess?
Yes, that would be the way this game works.
Is it Mark Lemke?
It is not Mark Lemke.
That's where I was going, because I knew he was from somewhere in upstate New York.
He's from Umpqua, New York. Or Utica? Utica.
He's from Utica. I think he went to school in Utica.
We talked about his accent before and how... There's this really weird pocket of New York that has this like Midwestern sound to it. It's weird.
He almost sounds Skip Carey-ish when he talks.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you hear him. It's like, is he from Illinois? Maybe. No.
I wouldn't. You would picture New York being like, more of a Brooklyn style accent, and he's very sounds like like an Illinois kind of guy.
Yeah. All right, JT, fire away.
Almost okay. Wisconsin, infield, but not really.
Wisconsin, kind of the nasal.
Yeah.
Okay, infielder, was he a part of the 95 championship team?
He was not a part of the 95 championship team that I'm aware of. Let me make sure. No, he was not.
Well, nope. Check the interwebs. Oh, just going to throw out an infielder then, is it? Mike Mordecai. I'm always going to guess Mordecai.
It is not Mike Mordecai. I think that's like JT's go-to answer.
No, I was watching yesterday I was watching the 30 for 30 on Steve Bartman. And forgot that Mike Mordecai had a big hit in that game for the Marlins. Nice. I was like, whoa, Mike Mordecai. Oh, wow. What's he doing there? I didn't know he played that long. Yeah.
This player will surprise you when you see the fact that over his career, he put up 15.1 WAR.
Is that a clue?
That's a clue. Yep.
15.1 WAR over 13 years?
Yeah.
So will it surprise you that he was that bad, or will it surprise you that, hey, I didn't think this guy was worth a damn?
Well, to give you a comparison, George Sherrill over his career was like a 5.1 WAR. So,
well, yeah, but he was a relief pitcher. This is an infielder.
Yeah.
So this guy fucking sucked, is what you're saying.
Well, so the Hall of Fame, we know that the Hall of Fame kind of draws the line around 45 WAR to get in. So
this guy's not a Hall of Famer. Yet.
No, he's not a Hall of Famer. Correct.
Maybe one day.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay. Maybe he'll make our Hall of Fame.
He's definitely not making a Hall of Fame. Let me just clear that up.
Maybe at his high school.
Still, 15.1 WAR over a 13-year career is it will surprise you that it was that good. Let me put it that way.
This guy must have really blown.
Okay, so here's my question. Did this player look like a turtle?
I don't think so. You asked this last week, and I don't remember who it was who you said this.
So it's not Alex Gonzalez or Edgar Renneria.
No, correct. That okay. is correct. It is not.
All right.
Nope. All right.
Yeah, Edgar Renneria definitely had above 51. Let's see. Was this guy a corner infielder?
At times in his career.
Come on. What about, like, for the most part? For the most part, though. Primarily, no. Kenny. Come on. What's he primarily known for?
He played 4 games at short.
Oh, I mean, I'm trying to look, because he's known as being a utility infielder. So, I mean, he plays a lot of different positions over the years.
That's what his wife said.
Did you say plays or played?
Played. Sorry. Okay. Played.
He is retired. Is it Jeff Treadway?
It is not Jeff Treadway. That's a strong guess, though. But no, it is not.
He lives here in Macon, Georgia. I know, because he's from Georgia. He played at UGA.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
He's still like, when they'll have random like autograph signings held up, Braves alumni will be at like the Sports Hall of Fame in Macon and stuff. And it'll be funny because you'll have, like, Ryan Klesko and Otis Nixon, and there'll be, like, 50 people in line to meet Jeff Treadway.
Okay.
That's awesome.
So are you ready for the next fact?
Sure.
Ready.
Okay. This player had just 481 strikeouts in 2,787 big league at-bats. And had a career OBP of 336 with 53 stolen bases in only 78 attempts.
Wow, that tells me nothing.
I mean, it kind of doesn't, but hopefully it might.
He didn't strike out, but he didn't seem to walk much either.
13 years. Oh. You said he wasn't a corner infielder, correct?
No, he was at times, yeah.
He was at times?
Mm-hmm.
Played a little backup third base. Is what I gleaned from that. Because it's very rare that you get a utility guy that plays significant type of first.
Okay, here's my question. Did this player retire within the last 5 years?
Let me double check. I don't think so. No, he did not.
So he retired long ago-ish.
Not within the last 5 years.
Hmm.
Do you have a guess?
Four 481 strikeouts in 2,700-ish at-bats. An OBP of 380?
338.
Oh, 338.
Yeah. 336. I'm sorry. 336.
So, low strikeout guy. 13 years from New York. Utility guy. Eric Hinsky.
No, it's not. Okay. Not Eric Hinsky. JT, this gentleman was drafted by the Atlanta Braves in 1990.
Well, it's not the one everybody remembers from 1990. there is that guy.
I don't think I would have said he played part of his time at a corner position. Let's be
honest. And I think his WAR was a little better.
I'm not quite that tricky. Yeah, I think his WAR was a little better. Yeah. Than that too.
Let's see. Golly. Let's see. Question.
And he wasn't on 95 team. Huh.
No, he was
drafted
not.
By the Braves in 90. And he played for the Braves, but he wasn't on the 95 team.
That's That's correct.
Yeah. Interesting. I know who it is.
Yeah.
Go for it, JT.
Did this guy play for more than... He did not retire as a Brave. That's my question. He retired as a member of another team.
That's correct. He retired as a member of another team.
Is it Keith Lockhart?
It is not Keith Lockhart, but a very, very strong guess.
Well, I figured we'd eventually get a hint of Jesus freaking.
Very strong guess. What about you, Joshua? Would you like me to give you another clue?
Sure.
Okay. In 2005, he hit 298 for the Royals and 319 with the Red Sox for a combined 309. He received some unpopular notoriety in New England and the south side of Chicago for making an error in the fifth inning game of Game 2 of the 2005 ALDS, which led to 3 unearned runs.
He played for the Royals and the Red Sox?
That is correct.
In 2005.
You guys are totally going to remember this guy because he's a lot more name brand than George Sherrill. Let me put it that way. Or Bill Pakoda.
Okay.
So you said you knew it, Josh. Please fire away.
I don't know anymore. Not after you gave the last clues. The Royals and Red Sox. I was going to guess, like, Vinny Castilla, but that's obviously not Vinny Castilla. And he has a way higher than WAR than 15.1. He had, like, a killer career. But, oh, man. I hate this game.
Vinny Castilla had a 19.4 WAR career.
Really? I would have thought he was in the 30s, you know?
He was, like, he had a couple of really good years, but overall, Vinny Castilla was a lot more like an Adonis Garcia for a lot of his career. He's better than Adonis, and he had a much longer career. But still, he was not fantastic. Just a few years.
But look at like his bread and butter years, and just imagine if the Braves kept him at shortstop, and you had basic. Just imagine, like, I mean, the Braves didn't really need him; they were so good anyways. But like, just imagine if they had like Chipper, Vinny and Fred McGriff in like 95 to get Andrew Jones to get it would have been like a zillion home runs. Anyways.
Yeah, but see, you got to look at it. He only had 5 years of really good baseball and then he was terrible the rest of his career. Like he had a great mullet. 94, 331, 309, 304, 304, 319, 275, then 221, 262, 15, 270, 232, 277. I mean, and I know batting average and everything, but he had a big drop off, is what I'm getting at. Like after those first 5 years, it was significant.
It's not.
But this is not the player that we're talking about. Right. That's Vinny Castilla.
So he was drafted in 90 by the Braves.
I am going to stump the chumps again, and you guys are going to kill yourselves for not getting this one. I'm just saying.
Really?
Yeah. You're going to be upset.
It's not Jeff Blauser? Because Jeff Blauser was drafted before 90.
Nope, not Jeff Blauser. Nope.
Yeah, Blauser. Come on,
JT, go for it.
90.
Yeah.
Trying to picture.
Let me give you another hint here.
Okay.
To try to help you out a little bit. This player was with the Atlanta Braves for 3 years and then went to the Tampa Bay Devil Rays. All in all, he played for 10 different Major League Baseball teams.
I don't remember this guy being an infielder, though. The guy I'm thinking of.
Fire away. This person did only no, it's not him. This person only played infield. Yeah, no, not that I saw. I didn't see any outfield stints for him.
It's not Ron Gant?
Nope.
He played for a shit ton of teams.
Oh.
Yeah, Ron Gant also put up 34.1 WAR, Josh, just to be clear.
Dude, he was a savage. Wow.
He was a really good baseball player.
Yeah.
Not Hall of Fame, but he was really good.
Really good.
Was this player Caucasian?
He was. I'm going to give you a very obvious hint on the next one, and if it doesn't get it, then you are going to have been stumped.
Okay.
Do you have a guess, Josh?
Mm-mm.
Before I do that? Okay. JT, to you. This baseball player could have been a member of the New York Mafia.
Oh, I got it.
Fire away.
Tony Graffinino.
You nailed it! There you go!
I don't even remember him.
Did we just draft his son? Did we just draft his son last year or a couple years ago?
I don't remember him.
AJ Graffinino? Yeah. You don't remember Tony Graffinino? Yeah, he played 3 years for the Braves. He's a backup player. He was a lot more active than anyone else, than any of the other ones I've like stumped you over.
Oh, yeah, Tony Graffinino.
Yeah. In 96, he only played in 22 games, but in 97 and 98, it was 104, 105, and then he got traded. Or released or whatever. So wow. I mean,
I don't remember at all the play you were talking about in the playoffs. I vaguely remember
it wasn't
him
for
being
Atlanta.
Royal,
so yeah,
I don't remember him being the Devil Rays at all. I don't remember him.
In his career, he played for. Let me see if I can nail this. The Braves. I'm sorry, I read that wrong. It was not 10 teams. It lists a couple of them twice. The Devil Rays, the White Sox, the Royals, the Red Sox. The Royals again, the Milwaukee Brewers, and the Cleveland Indians.
So. I remember the – okay, you said Red Sox.
Yeah, maybe I read that wrong. No, he did play for the Boston Red Sox. Yeah, no, he did.
I remember him playing for the – I remember him playing for the White Sox. I do remember that.
Yep.
But yeah, Tony Graffinino.
Yep.
My dad once called him Tony Grabbed My Pino.
I'm surprised, Josh, you don't remember him. I guess that was kind of in your – weird era where you kind of fell away from baseball
Really. I didn't fall away until like
the Atlanta. That would have been your high school years. Yeah. That would have been your high school years. I'm surprised you don't remember him, Tony Graffinino.
I was probably too busy at 7:22. You know.
Well, and to be honest, like I think Keith Lockhart was the main second baseman on that team, and Graffinino
move your camera.
What is wrong, dude? Like
this
sometimes
is, this
I sit
this
up, sometimes
wrong.
I lean
wrong.
Back.
This is what's wrong. This is you right here. This is you.
Yeah, but on my screen, I'm in the center of the camera, dude. I'm sorry I'm not, like,
it's either this
perfect for you.
Or then it's this.
Ah, jeez.
Hey, guys.
Our listeners can't see you, Josh, so it's not very funny to do, like, physical humor when they can't see you. I'm just saying.
What is JT doing? JT, what are you doing?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my goodness.
Tony Graffinino.
Dude, I don't know. I forgot about him.
All right. Are you ready for one more?
Let's do one more.
Can you survive one more? All right.
Honestly, sure. I don't know if I can. But
our listeners probably can't, but that's okay.
Well, I mean, you know, our listeners.
Do we still have listeners?
No.
I know Donahue doesn't listen anymore, but hopefully others do. I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe. I mean, I don't know. Do they? I guess they do.
I don't know.
All right. This one's much easier. This former Atlanta Brave is a former All-Star, and he too was born in New York, but in Johnson City, New York. This one's much easier.
Johnson City, Tennessee, and New York.
Was this player an infielder?
No, he was not.
Okay.
You passing? It's fine to pass if you don't have a legitimate guess.
No, that was it. Are you talking about, talking to me?
Yeah.
All right. We're allowed to ask a question, right? And then guess.
And then a guess. Yeah. You just didn't guess. So
I was... Well, I mean, you didn't give me time. I mean.
Okay, fire away. Yeah, I wasn't trying to rush you. I thought you were passing
from Johnson City.
Next time, I won't pause. I won't pause because I guess when I pause, I just think I'm not going to answer. So. But I was going to answer. Outfielder.
I don't have to put up with this kind of narrator abuse. I don't have to put up with this kind of abuse.
Not an infielder from Johnson City, Tennessee. All-star.
Not Tennessee. Johnson City, New York.
Oh, that's right. Johnson City, New York. All-star, not an infielder. Johnson City. I don't know. I will pass. I have no idea.
After all that.
No idea. He was a one-time All-Star?
Yes.
Did he play? Let's see. Was he part of the '95 World Series team?
He was not.
Was it Jermaine Dye?
It was not Jermaine Dye.
I didn't think so.
Yeah. This player, in his stint for the Atlanta Braves, he had more than 42 saves.
Okay.
Were the 42 saves in the entire time, or like in 1 year?
The entire time.
Okay. With the Braves.
Yes, in his entire time with the Braves. Let me make sure there wasn't another stint that I did not know about. Nope. Yep. That's Yep. Sorry. There was 51 total.
51 total saves.
Yeah.
So a New Yorker closer, All-Star from New York. Huh. Mike Dunn.
It's not Mike Dunn. Strong guess, but no, not Mike Dunn.
Did this guy play in the 2000s?
You broke up a little bit there. Did he play when?
Is he playing in the 2000s? Was he in the 2000s?
He did play after the year 2000.
Is it Chris Rietsma?
It's not Chris Rietsma. Another strong guess.
Yeah, he is Canadian. Yeah, him and Soroka.
Soroka went to his camp or something. Yeah.
Something like that.
Which of all the pitching camps to go to, you would pick Chris Rietzma's? Questions.
This former Atlanta Brave player was born the same year I was, in 1983. Let me add a little more. At one time he became the first American League pitcher ever to have recorded back-to-back seasons of 50 saves or more.
American League. It's not Blaine Boyer, is it?
It's not Blaine Boyer. JT.
Did this guy pitch for the Baltimore Orioles?
This guy did pitch for the Baltimore Orioles at one point in his career.
Is it Brad Brock?
It is not Brad Brock. Strong guess, though. Strong guess.
It better not be George Sherrill.
It's not George Sherrill again, I promise. This person and Eric Gagne are the only two MLB pitchers to ever accomplish the 50 saves in back-to-back seasons. Interesting thing. He was drafted, you mentioned the Orioles, he was drafted by the Orioles in the fifth round of the 2001 Major League Baseball draft, and made his debut in 2006.
Damn it! It's the guy that's like injured. It's the injured guy. What the hell is his name? It's the guy with the mustache. He's got the mustache.
No way. He doesn't have that many saves.
51 saves with
Atlanta. Darren O'Day.
Darren O'Day has 51 saves with Atlanta? No. No, he does not.
Yeah, that's a terrible guess.
Darren O'Day is not even a real person.
He's not a real person.
I don't think he is.
Mike Gonzalez. Mike Gonzalez really got me. He just played for the Pirates.
You just guessed, Josh. JT, it is your selection.
Okay. Lefty or righty?
This baseball player is a righty. You guys are gonna kick yourself for not knowing this one.
Debuted in 06 with the Orioles. That's a lot of saves. Debuted there with Eric Gagne.
Wrap this up. I'm going to give a strong clue next time, and I think Josh will answer it easily. So, JT, this will be a good chance to.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to pull. I'm trying to reach up a pig's butt and pull out a ham sandwich. Let's see. I don't know. I got nothing. I'm coming up blank here.
Let me give JT a stronger clue, and then I will give Josh a stronger clue. Here's the way we're gonna do it. Sudden death, fellas. The first one to name it based off of the clue I'm about to give next will be considered the winner. Okay.
All right.
Josh,
okay.
Are you prepared, Josh?
Yes.
Are you prepared, JT?
Sure. Let's roll.
Okay. This is. I would rather do it this way. In 2000. Okay. I'm not gonna say the year. In 1 year of pitching with the Atlanta Braves. He had a 2.71 FIP.
That's the clue?
That's the clue. Somebody listening right now is jumping up and down, shouting about this. Josh is going to kick himself when it all clicks and he realizes why that clue should have given it away.
Oh, my God. It's Jim Johnson.
It's Jim Johnson. Yeah,
that's right. I forgot he was an
Oriole.
It's
Jim Johnson's.
How did I forget about Jim Johnson? He was a badass. Oh, my God. I feel so silly.
I'm still counting that as a stump because I literally had to basically telegraph it to you to get it.
I do not remember him. Now, I do remember him being with the Orioles, but I do not remember him putting up that many saves.
Yeah, he was great with the Orioles. Yeah,
he was a savage dude.
Yeah, yeah.
What is it up with the Orioles with the closers? And then they go elsewhere and they suck.
He got seven. He was seventh place in the Cy Young Award in 2012 and was 14th in MVP for the Orioles. Like,
that's crazy,
what?
Man.
A closer got those kinds of votes? That's crazy. Oh my gosh, wild.
Wow.
Yeah. Wild, wild stuff. That's.
I just remember, yeah. I mean, we just forget that because.
Forgettable Brave. I've also kind of conditioned you guys that they're older, so, like, it's. I think your brains go back a little further sometimes, too.
Oh, they do, because immediately when you think. I'm immediately thinking, like, early 90s. You know, I'm not thinking of 2014.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah. So, starting next week, we're going to add a new thing into the show and a new part of. The Stump the Chumps. Fellas, I'm going to take the cap off. We're going back sometimes before 1990, but I will do this. I will give you a year range, and I will not pull quite as obscure players because I know you weren't alive for all of those years. And so I will try to pull players that you would reasonably know and give you a year range so you have clue.
Kenny's going to stump us with Rabbit Marinville.
No,
don't remember him?
No. It won't be like that. But if I give you, like, Hank Aaron numbers that you aren't familiar with and you can't guess Hank Aaron, you know, I'm just using that as an example. You know,
he hit 755 on this day many years ago, whatever year that was.
He did. So. Fellas, that's going to do it for this episode. It's been a a herky jerky episode because Josh and JT tried to overthrow me and make fun of me for half the episode because I'm not a fan of Helen. You know, it's just one of those things. Sorry, Helen's out there.
My grandma doesn't listen, so it's okay.
Anyway, that's going to do it for today's show. If you'd like to support Knock Home a Nation and make us actually be a better podcast, you can do so by fighting the tyranny of oppression of whatever this society we live in today is. Join the Knock Home a Nation. Become a citizen. You can do that at patreon.com/knockhomeanation. We got three different levels you can join at: $5, $9, $21. You can get your stickers. You can get your shout-outs on the show. You can get you a shirt. And, hey, you can even send us a message, and we send a personalized thank you card to everybody that joins with a nice little note in there. And yeah, you should join and support the nation. It helps us be able to put on the show and pay for all the behind the scenes stuff that we do, like being able to see each other via video. Maybe one day we'll have that available to patrons or something. We're working on it. That being said, it's been a fun show. We will catch you tomorrow.
Helen is amazing.
Thanks for listening to the nation's leading replacement-level podcast. Knockahoma Nation is brought to you by Knockahoma Nation patrons. To become a patron, visit patreon.com/Knockahoma Nation. For new episodes and content, visit knockahomanation.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @NTN. Special thanks to research assistant Braves Auctions Guy and spiritual advisor John D. Howard. See you next week, knuckleheads.